Well, hi, everybody. Welcome. My name is Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us, visiting with us for the first time, Merry Christmas season. Glad you're with us today. We're a multi-location church. So we're here in Manhattan Beach. We're also connected live right now with our Torrance campus. So hi to everybody at Torrance. It was great being with you last week. And we're also connected with our Manhattan Beach venue, which is open today. So hi to everybody there in our venue. Before I get into the message today, just wanted to give you a quick update. We're at the end of the year. Some of you are thinking about end of year giving, and I wanted to give you just an update on how we're doing financially as a church, because our fiscal year runs from July to June, so it's separate than our calendar year. So right now we're kind of at the halfway point of our year. We do so many great programs out in the community. We support missionaries around the world. We do great stuff here at both of our campuses here in the South Bay, as well as the costs of our buildings and our staff. We're actually doing really good right now. Our revenue is 14% under what we projected, but we run a real lean program and a real lean budget, so we've actually cut some, and we're 12% under our expenses, which leaves us at a gap of about $100,000 to finish this year. So if some of you are thinking about end of year giving, it's like, where can I give to help further God's work in the world? Maybe you can consider that. Some of you even have, I know some of your tax people are like, you need to be giving some more charitable giving before the year ends. So if that's you, if you could help us as we get through December, it'll help us start the second half of the year in a really good place. So thanks for that. Let me get into the message for today. We're in a series called Christmas in Us. This is the fourth and final message of this series. And we've been talking about how Christmas isn't just what's happening on the outside of us, the decorations and the gifts and the parties and the trees and stuff. It's intended to be something that's happening in us. Jesus came into the world to give us gifts that should be received by us and flow out of us. And these are the things that we've been talking about over the last several weeks: the gift of hope, the gift of peace, the gift of joy. Today we're talking about the gift of love. And all of these are gonna flow into what we've already talked about already, our Christmas Eve services, which we're really excited about. And hopefully you'll be able to be a part of that, invite someone, let some people know, even if you have people that aren't churched people or maybe aren't connected to a church, even if they're out of state, if they'd like to log on and be able to watch online. We'd love to be able to impact your friends and families and neighbors and coworkers with that great message of Christmas. Y'all got your Christmas outfits ready? Everybody thinks about that? Some of you bought your Christmas PJs for the whole family. You got to do your fit check and everything like that. I was thinking about, you know, what we wear does make an impact on people in positive ways and in challenging ways. And I was thinking about getting dressed up and everything like that. My family and I, we went to Disneyland last year, and we went into Fantasyland, and there was this big crowd of people around Cinderella. So Cinderella walked out, and she had her dress on and her hair up, and everybody was making a big deal out of Cinderella. And then we looked a little bit longer, something was kind of off. We couldn't quite figure out what it was. And just as we were like, something's off, like three Disney employees came over and spoke to Cinderella and kind of ushered her off. And then another Cinderella came out on the side and they were like, hey! And we're like, what's going on? She was just a visitor at Disneyland who happened to wear a Cinderella dress. And apparently at Disney, you're not allowed to dress up in a way that would confuse the visitors. So it's like, if you're not Disney, you should not be dressed up like Disney, you know? And it made me think about those mixed messages that people get about, what am I wearing? You know, what we wear, our hats and our clothes and our logos and even wording and phrases on our shirts, they are always sending messages to people. And the question is, what is that message that we're sending? And not just the message on the outside of us, but what are we wearing on the inside of us? And how could that impact the world around us? And so here's the message I want to share with you today. Here's the main idea. We can clothe ourselves with love because Jesus has come. That's really the Christmas message, is God loves the world. God loves us. God loves your friends, family, neighbors, and coworkers. How can we clothe ourselves in a way that it communicates the love of God? Each week we've been looking at a Christmas Bible story, a Bible story that around the birth of Jesus, and we're going to do one more today before Christmas Eve. Here's the story we're going to look at, the visit of the wise men. Here's where you can find it in the New Testament. Now, what some of you might not know is that when we look at the biblical story, it appears as if the wise men did not show up at the birth of Jesus, that we kind of have a time jump here, and we believe that the wise men showed up perhaps a year or two later after Jesus was born. So we have this nativity scene, right? Here's the one that my dad made for our family. All these little pieces are like puzzle pieces, and they fit into this thing. That's why it looks a little weird. But this is our normal nativity scene where you got Joseph and Mary, a couple of sheep, and I guess a cow back there, and the manger, and then you've got the shepherds over here, and then you've got the wise men over here. And we always have three wise men, but the Bible actually doesn't say there were three. It says there were three gifts, but maybe there were three, maybe six. I don't know. I don't know how many were there. But if they showed up later, then maybe our nativity scene should look like this, and we take them out of there. And some of you are like, don't mess with my nativity scene. This is, you know, like I got the whole kit. Some of you practice or kind of celebrate a holiday called Epiphany, which is January 6th, also called the Feast of the Kings. And that's kind of the traditional date where the wise men show up, at least on the Christian calendar. So I know some of you set up a nativity scene, and then it's like this, and then on January 6th, you bring out the wise men to show that they kind of showed up later. So we'll leave it like this for right now, and my mom will appreciate that because she's like, we need a nativity scene, and it needs to be the full thing, and we'll have a little nativity scene out in the lobby, at least here at the Manhattan Beach campus, with Mary and Joseph and the baby, for my mom, just to make sure that we have one present and I don't get in trouble for that. But maybe the tension of, are they here, are they not here, do we put them in, do we take them out, maybe that back and forth and that drama is baked into the story of the wise men's arrival, because it's really quite a dramatic story. And it actually starts a lot sooner than the Christmas story we normally tell regarding the wise men. Here's how it starts. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. This was the Jewish king in the area. He was kind of like a vassal or client king that operated under the Roman government. And about that same time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him. It doesn't say where the wise men were specifically from. It says eastern lands. We think it might have been Persia. They might have been astrologers or kind of court counselors. Those of you that are familiar with the Old Testament would know there was a very famous Hebrew prophet that was in Persia hundreds of years before that became a kind of court counselor. His name was Daniel. It could be these wise men were in the tradition of that ancient prophet Daniel. They're studying the stars. They see some type of celestial event, and they're like, we should go. We should go to the location of what seems to be this new king that the heavens are even announcing. Now, you go into a new area. Politically, you check in with the leader. So they go to King Herod. Now, current kings are not really that interested in hearing about a king that will take over for them. So Herod doesn't respond well to it, and everybody else is kind of thrown into a panic. It says King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" He knew enough that there was some coming Messiah or leader that would come to that area. But Herod's not a godly man. He didn't know his scriptures well enough. He had to call in the religious professionals and say, I don't know all this stuff. Tell me what's going on. And so these religious professionals, they open up the scriptures and they read to him an ancient prophecy about the arrival of this Messiah king. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O little Bethlehem, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." This is where we get that "O little town of Bethlehem" song that we sing. After they say this, Herod calls them back in. He calls for a private meeting with the wise men. Private meeting. So everybody out of the room. You know, that's a boss move. Can we clear the room? You know? Has a private meeting for a reason. He learned from them the time when the star first appeared, and he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go worship him too." That's a lie. He doesn't want to worship the king. He doesn't want to worship Jesus. He wants to assassinate him. And now we get to the part of the story. He's actually, later in the story, we won't read it this morning, he actually puts out a hit on every male Hebrew child 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem just to make sure that this Messiah king is wiped out. Now we go back, and this is kind of the part of the three wise men story that we get around Christmas. It says, after the interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. We're still not sure what that is, there's a lot of debate about what this star was. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. And it says, they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And the story concludes with this. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Herod's a dangerous guy. He's a bad guy. God's like, why don't you guys just go home? I don't want you going back there. We're going to stay away from this guy. What does this complicated, political, dramatic, kind of international story, what can it say to us about this weekend before Christmas and the message of love that God wants to bring? Remember that main idea? We can clothe ourselves with love because Jesus has come. Let me share with you a couple of ideas about how we can do this, and then we're going to close our service singing one more Christmas carol as we move toward Christmas Eve. Here's one way we can clothe ourselves with love. Let the love of God shape the way you relate to others. These wise men, they came to Judea because there was the arrival of a new king. Now, in that day, much like today, if there's a new leader, diplomats and representatives of other countries show up to give that new leader gifts. It's diplomacy. Some of it is just politicking. Some of it is real strategy. We need to get on this leader's good side. Sometimes there's alliances that want to be had. This is a normal process when new leaders kind of come into office. But Matthew, who wrote this version of the story, tells us something different about these wise men. They were not simply coming as emissaries and ambassadors and diplomacy or people-pleasing. They showed up to find this new king, and it says, we have come to worship him. It's like they were drawn by the love of God. Even in another country, maybe even having other religious practices that were different than the Hebrews, God, to the best of their understanding, was drawing them. I can totally relate to this. My first experiences in moving toward God and moving toward Jesus, I didn't have a lot of religious beliefs. I had no understanding of the Bible, but there was this sense that God had provided so much for me that I was like, I need to move in this direction. And it's interesting, we see kind of a juxtaposition between Herod and the wise men. Herod, his relationships with others was shaped by power, fear, suspicion, and control. He was always trying to hang on to what he had with a closed fist. The wise men, they were motivated by worship, love, honor, and they came with gifts. They came with open hands. Maybe this holiday season, you might be wrestling with some of that tension. What are the ways are you dealing with fear and suspicion and I need to hold tight to things versus coming to a place where you're motivated by the love of God and have an open-handedness? And I think that open-handedness, that love, helped the wise men as they were crossing borders with other countries, interacting with people with different political and religious beliefs than them. As they were stepping into vulnerable places, they had this desire to bring people together. And the Christmas message actually shapes Christians in that way. In fact, the early Christians believed that the goal of love was to help bring harmony with people. Look at this great quote in the New Testament that shows us how the early Christians thought. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. That's really interesting too, because it doesn't mean we have everything in common. It doesn't mean we're exactly alike. Sometimes we look for harmony with people who are the same ethnic group or the same culture group or the same language or the same political views. But Christianity has flourished over 2,000 years across the globe because it provided us the ability to harmonize with people who are very different than us. It helps us break down barriers. It helps us restore relationships. In fact, that's an action step we could take away from this story. Ask Jesus to help you restore harmony with someone this season. Is there somebody in your life, in your circle, where there's a conflict? How could you take one step toward harmony? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it means saying you're sorry. Maybe it means forgiving someone. Maybe it means just not arguing about every issue. It doesn't mean avoiding things. Maybe it means accepting that someone has a different point of view and agreeing to disagree. Maybe it means not nitpicking. Maybe there's a relationship with one of your kids that you could try being a bit softer. Maybe you have a relationship with one of your parents that you could try being a bit softer. What would it look like to take one step to try to restore harmony? And again, when it comes to relationships, we can't restore harmony on our own. It takes two people to do that job. But sometimes we wait for the other person. Well, when they take a step, I'll take a step. What would it look like to take a step into more harmony, motivated by God's love, not by people pleasing, not by political unification, but stepping forward in a way? And for some of you, it might just mean honesty. Here's one more way that we can clothe ourselves with love during this season. Be generous to others because God has been generous to you. The first Christmas after I became a follower of Jesus, everybody had gone to bed. There was a Christmas tree in the room. There was that little wood manger scene sitting out. And I lit a candle. I opened up a Bible. And I opened it to the stories of Jesus' birth. And the story of the wise men was the first kind of Christmas story that I read. And I was so struck by the intentionality of the wise men bringing their gifts. It says that they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They had treasure chests. They had packed what they planned to give to Jesus. They didn't stop at Erewhon along the way to Judea, say, what can we get on this thing? Yeah, you know, they didn't show up going, gosh, what do I got any loose change here that I could drop in the offering basket? No, they had like prepared. They're like, I'm going to give this gift. And the three things that they gave, you can look this up on your own. It's really interesting. They all have very interesting, significant, like symbolic value. So check that on your own. It's really, really interesting. But not only did it have symbolic value, but it had real practical value. In fact, it says that they gave him gold. The story continues on that when Herod puts a hit out on the kids in Bethlehem, God shows up to Joseph in a dream and says, I want you to take Mary and the child to Egypt for a couple of years until Herod dies. Some believe that the wise men showed up at that point to provide the funding for that trip. Have you ever had a moment like that where you're like, I don't know where the money is going to come from, and then it shows up? That's God loving you. That's God providing for you. And so in the same way, at Christmas, there's this sense of being aware that God has given us all things. I think the wise men coming to that area, they're crossing nations to get to Bethlehem. And in their own mind, they're not saying this is just a diplomat, this is a king, this is a new leader. They're saying the heavens have revealed to us, this is the King of Kings. That in some way, everything we have is because of this new king entering the world. And that's what motivated their generosity. And I think that's what should motivate ours. So here's one more action step for us.